This is Valley Edition. For much of 2017, we've been reporting on efforts across California and the desert southwest to address the airborne fungal disease known as Valley Fever. It's part of a collaborative project involving close to a dozen news organizations, from Valley Public Radio to the Bakersfield Californian. And there's been quite a bit of news recently about Valley Fever, from new data on the rise in cases to a new awareness campaign and even a crackdown from Cal OSHA that just broke yesterday. Here to tell us more is reporter Harold Pierce from the Bakersfield Californian and a member of the Center for Health Reporting Collaborative. Harold, welcome.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with this news that came out yesterday afternoon from Cal OSHA, the state agency responsible for workplace safety. What are they doing with enforcing regulations on Valley Fever?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that can be done. There's not any specific regulation related to Valley Fever that Cal OSHA enforces. However, they do have certain mandates that when there are hazards in workplaces, those things need to be prevented. And there's some sort of policy in place for these employers to go out trying to prevent, hazards. So in the case for at least it was six employers, construction management companies, mostly in Monterey County, that were working on a solar project up there in Coloma Hills, they were all fined roughly $240,000. That just came out yesterday.
So how would companies or anybody really go about preventing or trying to reduce the likelihood of Valley Fever infections? Are there specific steps that these companies should have been taking?
Yeah, there certainly are. And I think that's a really valid question. A lot of people might say, you know, there's not a whole lot you could do. But if you're on a construction site and you're in an endemic area, which much of the Central Coast and a lot of the Central Valley is, you obviously need spraying down dirt before you dig. If it's going to require a lot of hand digging, you might consider instead, renting a bulldozer or a backhoe that has an enclosed cab with a HEPA filter in it. Respiratory devices like N95 respirator masks should be used on work sites. Things like that. Those are common sense kind of preventative measures that should be taken on construction sites and really anywhere where there's going to be a lot of dirt moving around, oil fields, agricultural fields, things like that, that employers can take to try to prevent and stymie Valley Fever.
How common are those measures? Are companies actually doing that?
I think that the ones in the Central Valley here, Kern County particularly, you know, we did some reviewing of this last year for the collaborative, and all the larger employers, the ones like Aera Energy, Chevron, wonderful company, big companies like that, they all include some sort of safety training on Valley Fever for their new employees during their orientation. And they all take those kinds of common sense kind of preventative measures, they say.
So with these solar companies or the contractors involved in building this solar plant in Monterey County, do we know if it actually resulted in any Valley Fever infections? Or is this just you didn't follow the rules that you should have and it could have caused a problem?
No, in fact, there were hospitalizations from this, and we're working on right now trying to get those reports and trying to get a better understanding and a better grasp of how many folks actually were infected. My feeling is it probably wasn't just one if it warranted a citation from Cal OSHA.
And apparently this isn't the first time one of these solar projects has come to the attention of Cal OSHA when it comes to Valley Fever.
No, in fact, one of the companies that was fined this time around was also fined in 2013 for the same violations. So employees had gotten sick, apparently, back then, about 5 years ago, for the same types of issues, not helping to create better safety precautions for those who are working in those fields.
If you just joined us on Valley Public Radio today, Harold Pierce with the Bakersfield Californian is on the phone with us. We're talking about a number of different news developments when it comes to the story of Valley Fever. Harold, you have been reporting on the rise in cases of this disease recently for at least the last year, and also this interesting problem and the fact of tracking this disease and the number of cases has been quite a murky science at best when it comes to the state and the county data. There's new data out from the state on incidence of Valley Fever. What does it tell us?
Basically what it tells us is that we're in the midst of one of the worst epidemics for Valley Fever in as long as the state has been tracking cases. It's never been quite this bad. You know, we've expected, you know, with the reporting on Health Collaborative, that cases were going to rise over the last couple of years, just simply because of the weather conditions have kind of merited it. And while there's no scientific research that really backs that up, it's widely it's been widely kind of discussed among those who are in the community that generally when you have these long drought years and then a lot of rain in the early, you know, January season, and then, of course, it dries out in the summer, you're going to get higher number of cases because you have more fungus out there growing in the environment early on, dries out, gets picked up into the environment, and then you have more cases.
And is there still a problem in collating the numbers? Not collating is the wrong word, but trying to merge the numbers between the state and the counties. In the past, Kern County's data did not match what the state had on file.
Yeah, tracking the disease has always been a really, really big issue. And, you know, it's a matter of not being able to sync it up properly between the CDC at the national level, the State Department of Public Health, and then also the local agencies here. Oftentimes, they have vastly different numbers. We know, for instance, in Kern County last year, their numbers were completely different from the numbers that the CDC had. They were underreported at the CDC, but more accurate at the Kern County level. And, you know, there were some steps that we're trying to take to try to address those issues. Somebody on Rudy Salas here from Bakersfield had put forward some legislation, AB 1279 last year, that would have addressed some of those issues. Unfortunately, that bill was really stripped down during the legislative process. And then when it finally did make it to the governor's desk, it ended up getting vetoed. So efforts to try to address some of these reporting consistencies have unfortunately kind of floundered.
Why did Governor Brown veto that bill?
You know, by the time it got to his desk, it had really been stripped down to what was essentially just asking for a Valley Fever awareness program from the State Public Health Department. And Public Health Department already says that they have something like that in place. However, that public awareness project is really, really lackluster. You know, we did a big story about this. It really relies upon downloadable flyers, you know, pamphlets, really low cost, low budget ways of preventing or promoting awareness that really don't seem to work. They're not out there where people live their lives anymore. And it's kind of floundering.
Now, you've talked to Assemblyman Salas, who authored that bill, and as you said, it was watered down consecutively as it went through the legislative process and the various chambers and committees. Is he intent on pursuing this in the future? And if so, how to prevent such a fate in the future? Does he try to include that funding in the budget process rather than in an external appropriation in a separate bill? What's the strategy there moving forward from his perspective, as he's told you?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about this. And one thing that Salas, Vince Fong, who co-authored the bill, and others have said, is that they're not giving up with this veto right now. As far as they see it, one of the issues the governor had when he vetoed this bill was that there was not money for it in the budget. So they're going to go back through the budget and hopefully try to convince him to put some money in there for it. You know, the Valley Fever Americas Foundation is also involved in that effort. And what's most interesting is that Donnie Youngblood, our Kern County Sheriff here, who has a relationship with Governor Brown, has said that he's going to try to leverage that relationship to try to explain the importance and educate the governor a little bit on Valley Fever. Because, like Youngblood had said, Governor Brown is a guy who lives in Sacramento, probably has never been exposed to Valley Fever himself, probably doesn't know too many people, if anyone at all, who has come down with this disease, this ailment that is endemic to Kern County, but not as common in other places.
And let's talk a little about that new campaign featuring Donnie Youngblood, maybe a somewhat of a surprising star for a public awareness campaign on public health. We think of him as being the law and order guy and always in front of cameras when it comes to that. But he's out front and center on Valley Fever now. Why is that?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story, actually. Here's a guy who, is Kern County Sheriff, and he was just curious about Valley Fever himself. And when the Kern County Public Health Department had announced that they were going to be providing the antigen skin test over at their public health clinic, which basically you go in there, you get a needle prick, they tell you in 24 hours whether you've ever been exposed to this fungal spore. He decided he wanted to go out there and get it because he's a guy who is very active in Kern County, rides horses, hikes, says 40, 50 miles a month, you know. Anything he could possibly do is to get Valley Fever, exposing himself to dusty conditions, he pretty much does on a monthly basis. So he was curious for himself. And he went in there, and public health officials saw him and thought, wow, what a great opportunity they had here to kind of get a champion for the cause, which is something that's been missing for so long. And it also doesn't hurt the fact that Don Youngblood also has a personal connection to this. I know that he had a relative some years ago, I think related on his wife's side, who had passed away of Valley Fever. And now his significant other came down this year with the disease. So it's something that's touched him on a very personal level. And he decided to go out there and try to do everything he can with his local celebrity here to raise awareness, which is something that Valley Fever has really, really needed for a very long time.
So what exactly makes up this campaign?
So basically they have, which was really exciting for Valley Fever because we've never seen this before, PSAs on television. They're going to be running two different kinds of PSAs. One is just a general Valley Fever awareness public service announcement. The other one is a one that kind of promotes the antigen skin test, which is over at the public health department. I think it costs about between like $70 and $80. But they also have put it out on, I believe, YouTube. They have it on all the local media stations here. And then also at the Bakersfield Californian, we are running for free their advertisements, their PSAs in print.
Again, Harold Pierce with the Bakersfield Californian joining us right now on Valley Public Radio, talking about Valley Fever, as this is an ongoing effort from both this station, the Californian, and all the members of the Center for Health Reporting Collaborative, which is a project run out of USC's Center for Health Reporting. Harold, when it comes to this awareness issue, is this something unique, not just to Kern County, but to the disease overall? I mean, you said that the state doesn't really do much on this. Does Arizona, where this disease is also endemic, are they doing anything like that? Are there other models out there to follow to try to get the word out and raise awareness?
I think for the awareness efforts, you know, it's pretty much the same all around. And I get the sense that Arizona probably might do a little bit more than California. But for the most part, there's no awareness funding whatsoever. California doesn't allocate a dime towards awareness funding for Valley Fever at the state level. The $20,000 or so dollars that it took to get all these PSAs on the air in Kern County locally, that's all paid for and allocated through basically budget savings of the public health department here. So they're kind of scrimping and saving where they can and finding money where they can to put forward these PSAs. I know that Arizona has some appropriation for Valley Fever, but I think it's just for research, not necessarily for awareness campaigns at the state level. And it's really kind of a problem because in a world for Valley Fever where all we really have right now is awareness as a tool, we're lacking the greatest thing that we can have to raise more awareness, which is money. There's not a dedicated Valley Fever antifungal that's been created for the disease specifically. We are years away from a vaccine. Really the best thing we have right now and hope for to try to stymie the disease is awareness of it. So when folks get sick, they let their doctor know right away, please test me for Valley Fever if they come out with flu-like symptoms, if they're in an endemic area and they suspect it. Because otherwise, that disease could get much, much worse if it's misdiagnosed, which it often is. It could potentially end up disseminating throughout the bloodstream. And from that point, it creates some really, really bad lifetime health issues, as opposed to being kind of solved and hopefully fixed and addressed within a matter of months. But either way, if you catch it and you come down with symptoms, it's not easy whether it disseminates or not.
Now, it's kind of circling back to where we started this conversation, that solar farm that they're building in Monterey County, where a number of companies were fined yesterday by Cal OSHA for their failure to take preventative measures to reduce the risk of Valley fever exposure to their employees. That was in Monterey County, Central Coast, an area that is also endemic but probably isn't thought of commonly as much as related to this disease as Kern County is or Tulare County. And does that maybe underscore the need for more awareness statewide, maybe even more than just the Kern County campaign?
Oh, I think it certainly does. You know, in areas like Kern County, Tulare, we're constantly thinking of Valley fever out here, probably not as much as we ought to be. But just because of the sheer number of cases we have here, we have more cases than anywhere else in the state in Kern County. You know, but in other places like Monterey, San Luis Obispo, you know, those places don't get nearly as many cases. But I think you're absolutely right. It certainly underscores the importance of statewide awareness efforts for this disease. And I think that just the you know, just by having Cal OSHA, you know, kind of raise the awareness by finding these folks, that alone raises the profile of the disease.
And are there not also concerns that the disease, as climate change and it plays its you know, as the climate changes and things begin to change in other ways, perhaps Valley fever could become more prevalent in other areas? Is that also not a concern statewide?
I think we're potentially seeing that right now. I mean, we haven't seen cases this high ever in its recorded history. And here we are, you know, I think it's important to know this is 125 years this year since the first recorded case of Valley fever was documented. And we are really so far from where we ought to be in terms of progress for this particular disease.
Again, Harold Pierce with the Bakersfield Californian joining us today, a member of the Center for Health Reporting Collaborative. There's more coverage coming out this weekend and this new story about Cal OSHA's involvement soon to come in the Californian, and you'll find it on kvpr.org as well. Harold, thank you so much for joining us today.
Certainly. Thanks for having me, Joe.